really covet your prayers. And I don't want anyone that stayed for the afternoon service feel like you're the target. I desired for it to be the whole congregation, because the message is for the congregation, and if the Lord had not given it to me in the manner in which he did, I would be preaching something else. It is not my chosen subject, but the Lord rather poured it out, and I want to say to begin with that I have a deep and an abiding love for the congregation. I always have, and I always will. And I want to say also that this message is not a message only for this congregation. This message could be preached in any other congregation. From conversations that ministers sometimes have with one another, I know that issues are not unique to any one specific place. But I believe the Lord wants us to be stirred. There is a scripture that says he wants to stir up our minds. It's said by way of remembrance. But I believe that we are in a very stirring time. We do not know when the day of the Lord will come, but even the world, people in the world are expressing feelings that there's something going to happen. Now, whatever that is, we don't know, but we are looking for the coming of the Lord. I'll give you the title and maybe set your mind toward the burden that we have. This message is to be an admonition for a healthy and successful home congregation. And that's the burden from the Lord. I believe God is sending forth his word throughout the body of his people, not only to prepare us for eternity, but to stir us into more action. So I do desire that the Lord help me to be able to express this message, and that you will feel love. I have no desire to point fingers, but I desire a successful and a healthy congregation. And that's not, that has no ill purpose. That only has goodwill. Our beginning scripture is Psalms 122:1, and it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So as the Lord was giving me these things, I thought, well, what could I entitle it? I chose the title that I gave because that's really the purpose. But I thought, oh, well, maybe the word protocol. I could entitle this as protocol. And then when I considered it, I didn't feel that was appropriate. I felt like that the Church of God does not really set protocols. Now, that isn't to say that we don't have routine and schedule. We do. We The Lord in his word tells us that we're to have everything, let everything be done decently and in order. Well, the word order is, it covers a lot of what we do in the Church of God, whether it's at a camp meeting or whether it's in our local service or where there's a certain kind of order. And it should be ordered, and we trust that it always is, ordered by the Spirit of God and through God himself. But as I continued to think on these things, I found that this statement proved true. It says, God is very interested in our services. Do you believe that? We are all living a terribly busy life, or lives, not just one life. We are, someone was saying to me today, well, it was Tobia, how fast this last week passed. And I have found it to be, it just is, every week is just flying by. We're so far into this year that seemed like it only barely begun. Every day is just, what have I done for this day? And maybe you have felt that way. You get up in the morning and before you know it, it's time to go to bed again. Time is flying. And we get so caught up in the busyness and affairs of our own lives. And that's not necessarily bad. It's part of our humanity. And may I suggest that if the message is difficult to listen to, you have my permission to stand up and walk around. I believe the Lord is really wanting to speak to us today. When we get so caught up in the cares of life, and we're warned about it in the Word of God, of allowing the cares of life, it does something to us. It smothers and it's over there in the parable with the seed that the cares of life, I believe it choked. And if we're not consciously reminding ourselves, I'm going to say daily, that I can get choked spiritually, yes, with the cares of life. And I'm not going to tell you to go out and make absolute, ultimate, major changes. But I believe the Spirit of the Lord can help us. Each one in whatever phase of life that we're getting so caught up that we're not really maintaining that. And maintenance is a big thing when it comes to our spiritual lives. Maintenance, maintaining our contact with God, maintaining a communion with the Lord, even a conversation. And let me tell you, I'm going to say this. When you feel like you're being pressed and can hardly communicate with the Lord, do it as you go about your work. Mankind has a great ability to be multitaskers. And we can multitask. You can do your work and still have a mind that is crying out to the Lord in communion. So I'm just going to insert that there. And again, I'm going to say that God is very interested, and I think he's very interested in this congregation. This congregation started in Well, I may not have the exact year because Lauren and I were married in 1963 and the congregation was in operation, not in a chapel at that time. They were meeting in a building up in Britain. The congregation was made up of mainly, almost entirely, of people coming out of other churches. First Church of God, the Nazarene Church. We had people that had been in there, and they were looking for the truth, and they found the truth, and Brother Souter would come over and meet with these people and hold the services, and eventually they built a little chapel up on 50th Street, and we had a big congregation, and that was when Lauren and I married. And we chose to be a part of this congregation. Well, I might make a comment about that a little bit later, but this congregation has ultimately been a part of my life for 60 years. And not that I was in any position of leadership, but I want to tell you, when the Lord called me, my heart has been here and has been absolutely turned and desiring the success of the congregation. Now, a little bit more history. This congregation suffered 3 divisions. At one time, this congregation was nearly a full house. And it is a grief to know what it once was. And, you know, God hates division. And so by the time Lauren and I were in the ministry here, we still had another division after that. Division is so hurtful, and there's no words to describe what you go through when a congregation is divided that many times. But we always wanted to keep the doors open to this little place. Do you know who is here today that is of that time? This is not the same congregation. You are not the people that were here at that time. Vicki and Dennis, and now me. We're only the only 3 people here that is left of the foundation of this congregation. Vicki has told me that the teachings that she received when she was growing up in Webb City, which was a small congregation there, the teachings she received in being loyal to a home congregation has made her what she is today. So I'm glad that Dennis and Vicki has been a part of this congregation since they married. Is that correct? So this congregation has been important to the Lord, or he wouldn't have kept the doors open. I think there's a scripture or something to that effect that says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than whatever the comparison was. You know, being a doorkeeper is everyone's responsibility. There's not just one person. Now, I know out in sectism, my daddy's people were part of that, those churches, and my uncles were doorkeepers of their church. And they literally did it. They were there early. They opened the doors. They stood by the doors and welcomed the people. That was their job, and they were faithful to that, as far as I know, till they died. But in the Church of God, we don't really have it practiced that way, but we're all, you and I, are the doorkeepers. So the word of the Lord teaches us in Hebrews 10, and we're going to refer to 24 and 25, but we're going to do it in piecemeal. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The other translations, I thought, were worthy to be mentioned. Not abandoning our common assembly. Not neglecting our own church assembly. So we have a command, because God is the one that is giving the command. So when we look at a congregation, and I'm going to be referring back to that scripture in just a little bit. A congregation is just one unit of the body of Christ. In other words, this little place is not the only little place. God has his plan, and it's included in a family plan. And I think Brother Dan even said when he was in the pulpit, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to know about the family of God and to be a part of it. But God has a real special interest. And I think more so now than ever before, because I think we are coming down to the close of time. But he has a special interest that we be healthy and successful as a congregation. The work of a congregation, what is that work? Well, it's God's work. This is God's church. This is God's people. This is God's congregation. This is God's ministry. We can't claim any authority over it. As a matter of fact, the scripture even tells us that we are not to be lords over it. And I have endeavored in my whole ministry to not be a lord over the congregation. God is my witness. I believe he would say, I have not. But the work is God's work, and if we can look at it as God's work, it's not any man's name is not on the board out there. Actually, I don't even know if we have a name of some of them will put down who the pastor is, but I don't even think our sign out front even says any man's name at all. So it is the Church of God. And according to the scriptures, and you know this, he places the members in the body as it pleaseth him. And we must be led of the Spirit to allow him to place us in the body as it pleaseth him. Now, there could be changes in life. Changes come. People move and so forth. The one assurance that you have to have is that God is in the placement of where you are. If you're convinced of that, you will live up to the responsibility. You will feel the responsibility. If you know this is where God wants me to be, if I did not have the confidence that God wanted me here, I would have run a long time ago. There was a time that I felt that the Lord was calling me away, and I could not tell the congregation. I was a coward. So I wrote everybody a letter and handed it to them as they went out the door and told them I was resigning. And I get home, and I am literally wailing. I'm on my knees. I am crying and wailing before the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, I cannot leave these people until you send another pastor. And when I said that, I got peace. And I came back that night. That was when I was the only minister here. I was preaching twice on Sunday. And I came back that night, and different ones had told how that they'd cried that afternoon. And I said, don't worry, I'm not leaving until God sends another pastor. Well, guess what? He never sent one. And here I am. I'm still here. Have I wearied with it? I am only human. Everybody likes something new and different, a change of atmosphere, if you will. Everybody likes that. But when God places us, we don't get the choice. We don't pick up and go. You stay until God says. Well, we have some people, I'm not talking about the Church of God, because I don't believe there's a place for retirement unless something happens to my mind and my daughters must tell me something's happening to me and I need to sit down. But God runs his body a whole lot different than I would. So he's interested in this congregation, and I know that he wants the congregation and our services to be under the unction of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit for every part of the work of God in his body. So I'm thinking about family membership. Each one of you are part of your own family membership. You're born in it. Well, each member in your family fills a place that only they can fill. If you bring in another child through adoption, and this is all spiritual, you see, because the song says, I am adopted, a child of the King. I become a part of the family. But we can bring others in. My brother is adopted, and I don't even remember getting him. You know, he was 2 and I was 3, and he's always been there. That's what a family makes up. And you're forever a family. And it doesn't matter how old you get and go on and make your family, and you're still part of that family. So that's a literal family. But in the church, it's the family of God. And we have fellowship one with another. When you go to camp meeting, you have fellowship there too, because it's all one big family. But all of those families don't live in the same place. And all of those families have their own home place. And it says that, I wrote down here that in the Church of God there should be a home congregation. Do you believe that? Do you attach yourself to a congregation and say, that's my home congregation? That's how it is in the Church of God. Not just here, it's across the world. Should be across the world. The home congregation is a place where we each bear responsibility. Just as I said that we each are doorkeepers. We're partly responsible for the doors to be left open. And whoever was a part of this congregation down through the past generations did just that. They counted it a very important part of this congregation to make sure that the doors were opened. That should happen in every congregation. Yes. So, when we say that God places us in the body as it pleases Him, then who are we ultimately responsible to? Are you responsible to the pastor? Who are you responsible to? We are responsible to God. God's the one that places us in the body, and that's who we're going to answer to in the end of all of this. It's just how it is. There's not going to be anyone standing up and testifying for anybody else. God is. So back to that 24th verse, I'm going to give some of God's purpose because it speaks of the purpose when it says we're not to neglect the assembling of ourselves. The first part before that, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Oh, that's a real responsibility. I'm responsible for you. You are responsible for me. In what way? That we provoke one another to that healthy, successful work of God. My filling my place should be an encouragement to you. Yeah. Filling your place, feeling, F-E-E-L-I-N-G, feeling your responsibility. And you provoking me to love and good works, provoking each other. I remember when the Lord gave this scripture to me for my daughter, who was a little difficult to correct. And the Lord, oh, I was down praying. I was the only one up. Everybody was in bed. And I was on my knees crying out to the Lord. And the Lord spoke this scripture, and I didn't realize it was a scripture. I had to look it up. Provoke to love and good works. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, you know how to provoke to anger. Learn how to provoke to love and good works. And I believe that's part of the message now. I believe the Lord is sending out a challenge to hear that we be healthy and successful, and that He can teach us how to provoke each other to love and good works. Yes. That's our duty. It's our responsibility. It's God's purpose. And then He says, and now don't forsake or neglect the assembling of yourselves together. That's the next step. And then it goes another step, and it says, just past that, you know what it says? It says, but exhorting one another. We need to learn how. It's not all standing up in the service with an exhortation. It could be simply a text. You are on my mind today. I am praying for you. If you're fighting a battle, let me share in your battle. You know what the tactic of the enemy is? To make us feel isolated.
Yes, that's true.
Even in a congregation. We're going to say a little bit more about that too. But that's the time we're living in. We can get so caught up in the cares of our own life. And we can even be feeling isolated ourselves. And you have to reach out in order to break that isolation. Or somebody's got to reach back to you.
Yeah.
One or the other. Most of the time, it's very difficult. I've been there. That's why I know I can feel so alone. And I cannot share it with anybody. And the devil is over here talking in my ear. There is no one you can talk to. I am not the only person in this world that feels that way. That is a snare, a trick, a trap of the enemy. And what it does, it doesn't divide us necessarily, but it doesn't bring us together. It doesn't bring us together. So the scripture here says, but exhorting one another. You know, we can carry a burden for each other and never tell it, and they don't know it. There comes a place from time to time that you need to say, brother, I really care. How are you doing? You know, someone came to my house and wanted to pray, and we did that, and they left happy. And then I said to them, I said, now, is it okay if I start checking on you once in a while? Yes, it's okay, but do you know I've neglected that? I get so busy. And yet we might in our hearts think of them from time to time and really care and really cry out to the Lord. Lord, help this brother. Help this sister. And like Dan said about the prayer, our prayer line, it's valuable. We do have more contact with sharing some of our burdens in that way. And I'm thankful for it. But let's exhort one another. Let's say it with words. I really care. To each other. Paul, you come and get me some more Kleenex, please. The latter part of that phrase that we started out with, where it said for us not to forsake or neglect or abandon. Thank you. It has another phrase in there. And it says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching? Do you feel it? I think we do. I think the majority of us sense the day of the Lord is coming. So there's a big commandment here that God's very interested in. And I'm going to repeat it more than once. I've already repeated it more than once. Is that God's work is to promote a healthy and successful work of God in this congregation. Last in July sometime, I had a little message here. And so there were instructions and some admonition, and I used 1 Timothy 3:15, and it said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. That was one of the main scriptures. Well, there is a connecting scripture that I want to give today, and it's in 1 Chronicles 19 and 13. And it says, be of good courage, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people. That's not all of the verse. I'm going to give you the rest. But I think God is calling for us to be valiant workers. Oh, well, what do I have to do? I will tell you, when you fill your place in the body, that's a big job. That's an honorable job. That's behaving yourself valiantly for the people. And then it says, and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord, and I heard this in a message recently, that when all of the letters of the word Lord are capitalized, that represents God Himself. When it's a capital L Lord, that's Jesus Christ. And in this passage, it's all caps, Lord. So it means God Himself. Let God Himself do that which is good in His sight. It's the work of God. It's not my work. I have a calling to fill this little place, this little corner of the world. That's all this is. It's just a little corner of the world. And when I get called up for judgment, that's all I'm going to have to answer for, really. Have I filled my little corner of the world according to God's wish and plan? So, but when it comes to the overall work of God, the doorkeeping, it's all of our responsibility. Wherever we're called to be filled, to be placed in the body, that's where I'm going to have to answer for. So I'm going to say this. Do we feel the weight? Do you know what it means to feel the weight of something? I don't know what to compare it to out there to have the same meaning as in here. To feel the weight is to feel the burden. And that's all part of our vocabulary. We're accustomed to hearing those words, aren't we? Oh, I feel a burden. Or I have a burden. We can have many burdens or feelings. And I think we brought that out in that last message. That not every thought that comes to my mind comes from God. Or is of the Spirit of God. We have to prove it. We have to prove the Spirit. We have to prove the voices. We said in that message that there are many different voices of the world. To feel the weight, in my mind, it means to have a deep care, a genuine care and love. And nothing else can promote feeling the weight except for God to give it to me. There is no other reason that would cause me to be obedient to the feeling of the weight except it be by God. So if we feel a weight for the work of God and for the congregation, this is some biblical meanings of the word burden. Something to be borne. You willingly pick it up. I carry it. I am responsible for this. I will not let this go. It is the obligation which Christ imposes. That's one definition. It's a duty and a requiring. It's a duty that requires effort. That was another definition. So I'm going to refer to the calling of a pastor or a minister. A pastor is to be like a shepherd of sheep. And now I have never shepherded sheep. But I know what it is to care for a congregation. I know what it is to love the people. I know that my calling carries a grave responsibility. And one of the main commandments is feed the flock. I take that very seriously. I'm not lifting myself up at all. I'm just telling you, I know what it means to bear the weight. I want you to understand. Not saying that I'm perfect. Not only have I the charge to feed the flock, and let me tell you, feeding the flock takes much prayer, and it takes many tears every week. Why? Because, you know, I told the congregation that when I was working here in the school that an advertisement came one day in the mail here at the school, and it was for volumes of messages in books prepared. And so they had one that was sent, you know, that you could use if you wanted to in your ministry. And it was in the outline form, and it had stories, it had everything could fit together. You didn't have to do anything but take it and talk on it. And I saw the danger, and I dropped that thing in the trash. If a message is not prayed down, it's not a message. It's but sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. So the charge that we feel is not to get something that just tickles the ears. We haven't done that, I don't think. But to feed, to nurture, to challenge, to strengthen, to exhort, to provoke you to leave here today and to love and to good works. It's a grave responsibility to be faithful to the flock. It's a grave responsibility to hold to the divine teachings of the Word of God, and not watering it down, and not compromising the truth. And that means, and I believe that Dan is an example too. I believe you've had examples before you of the truth. And may God deal with our hearts if we have not. But that's a grave responsibility, is to make sure that there's no compromising the truth to the flock. I have felt a grave responsibility to warn the righteous that they sin not. I truly do not want your blood on my hands. One more point on the minister is that they are not hirelings. God does not work with that plan. He doesn't call somebody because to a certain place and say, well, it happens out in other places. It does. They want the highest paid salary, and I'll take the job. I'll take the pastorship if I get a salary such as this. No, that's not God's way. Thank the Lord we are not that way. So now I'm going to address I put down it was a congregant. That's you. You're the members. We're all members of one body. And when I stand up here, or Brother Dan stands up here, I guess you have to listen. Okay. If we're a member of a congregation, we need to have a special concern also for the health and success of the congregation. A healthy body is one that can be so rich and strong and productive, and literally, a healthy body does produce. It's the same in the body of Christ. When each member is filling their place as God placed them, it produces something that ultimately will succeed. I'll speak in a collective way of the whole church. Every congregation has the same responsibility. Every pastor, every minister who is called of the Spirit and placed in the body has responsibility. So my first piece of advice, and I said to someone recently, I said, I don't generally give unsolicited advice, but I think I will today. Because I think you're going to benefit from it. I trust that you will. I trust that the Lord is going to take this and turn it into something out past this building that will have a profound effect in this setting. Our first duty, maybe from this day on, is to carry a burden and feel the weight for the congregation to be healthy and successful. Is that wrong? Would that be... I think that's wise. We don't know what's before us. When we are a part of a body that is earnestly seeking for the Spirit of the Lord to come in and minister unto us, it blesses me and it blesses you, and you grow spiritually. You gain your victories. I gain my victories when we are supporting one another, when we're provoking one another to love and good works. And it's going to begin tomorrow with the knowledge that God is wanting his body to be healthy and productive and successful. Not for our glory, not to have a reputation. Oh, look at them. That's not it. It's like Brother Dan was saying this morning. It's for the glory of God, his name alone. It's not for anybody's reputation. It's to say God is working in that place. That's all I want, is for God to work with us and in us. You and I have a duty and a calling to pray for the Word of God. And I've already tried to express just a little bit of the burden in getting the... I pray this way, Lord, give the message that is right for the hour. Because I don't know. I don't know what you need. I've had a number of times down through the years, somebody come up to me after a message and say, that was just what I needed. I didn't know that, but God did. But when we go home today, and when we begin our week, and we begin to pray, let's remember to pray, Lord, give the word that is right for the hour in our congregation. Give us the word that is right. Support. That kind of support is valuable. Don't you know the devil is fighting hard to destroy? He wants to destroy messages. If it wasn't for the very protection of the Holy Spirit when I am standing here, what would I do? The enemy would be trying to destroy the word. So let's take the duty and the calling and let's go home and let's begin to pray. Let's pray more for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, and that God would be well pleased to come and dwell in our assembly. That's a good prayer. You can pray those same words every day. And if you mean it from the heart, they ascend to the throne. Thank the Lord. So now I want to talk a little bit about our actual meeting, our services. And we're not going to go over all of the part about generally we come to service and we're not, we have expectations of how it's going to operate. And we're not going to try to change that or make any other comment about that, but I want to talk a little bit about our core actions, the very foundation and fundamental process or order of our services. And if anything that I'm saying, I'm not accusing, I'm challenging. I want it to be a challenge to us. And I want it to come from the Lord. I don't want it, well, that's what was preached, so now I have to do it. I'm not saying that. I want each one of you to feel your responsibility that you go before the Lord and say, Lord, fill me. F-I-L-L. Fill me. Give me the mind of Christ. Give me the faith of Christ. Give me the righteousness of yourself. That's the purpose of this. a challenge to you and to me for the core actions of our services, because God's interested. He's interested in each one of us. And I've already, in the other message, I addressed calling songs and being led of the Spirit, and we talked a little bit in the last message of leading out in prayer and how prayer should also be anointed. And so those kind of things, I think we already have the fundamentals of that. I would like to address agreement. You know what agreement is? Do we know what agreement is? I think we do. I don't think we're an ignorant people. But agreement has been lacking in the church, yes, at large, at camp meeting. And I challenge you to just listen to some old messages, and it'll prove the point. I don't have to really go into details. Go listen to some old messages, and you will hear agreement. Is agreement important? Is it important to God? Is silent agreement important to God? Yes. So I'm not going to just totally knock out the silent agreement, but I'm going to say this: it gives room for the devil. It gives space for the enemy. In this congregation, and please, I am not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm talking a little bit about history here. No, I'm going to talk about history first in the Church of God. The church was active in agreement when I was growing up. I'd say Irma probably remembers it as well as I do, and probably Vicky. But there came among us a group that was highly vocal, and it was of a false spirit. And we went to Monarch that year, and it was a division working in it, with this group being so vocal and so active. And you know what it did? It quieted. It shut up the body at large. People didn't want to be associated or called. You're a part of that. They didn't want to be that. And so therefore, this group, which left the Church of God, but it left behind the damage. Ministers got quiet when the minister would be preaching. I remember one time years ago, Brother Bob Salee came down here to this congregation on a Wednesday night, if I remember correctly, and gave us a little message on "We Be Brethren." I never forgot it. And you know, when all of this quietness went over the Church of God, like at Monarch and everything, and the ministers were, you know, having our little meeting in the mornings at that time, and the Lord gave me a little exhortation to the ministers, what Brother Bob had said to us: we be brethren. We need to support one another. Did it change? Very little. We have two generations at least that doesn't really know what it is to be supportive of a message and to be in agreement.
Yes.
And it comes down to even our prayer time. I challenge us. You know, I wrote this little word down here. I'd like to give you a little nudge. Just a little nudge. God wants you. Oh, I'm not condemning. I'm nudging. Do you pray out loud at home? I know you do. Pray. Come to service and be willing for the Spirit of the Lord to nudge you. Lead out in prayer. We could do better on that, couldn't we? And I'm not being ugly. I'm talking about healthy and successful. Does it have to be a perfect prayer? It doesn't have to be a perfect prayer to please the Lord. Cry out to the Lord. And then if you're not the one saying the words, don't be silent. Say, yes, Lord. Amen, Lord. I'm in agreement, Lord. I'm listening to the words that person is praying. I hear what they're saying. And when I agree with it, somebody else knows I'm agreeing, that I'm hearing.
Yes.
Can we be a little challenged? It's for your good. It goes beyond others in the congregation. It's spiritual growth in every individual. And the Lord will be pleased. Push yourself out of your comfort zone. Lord, use me. You know that scripture over there where it says they couldn't find a man to stand in the gap. And the answer was, send me. I'll take the call. When we come to service, come prayed up and put your whole heart into it and say, Lord, use me. And I'm happy for everyone that prays. I don't know if you notice, but when somebody else leads out in prayer, what do I say? Anybody notice? Does anybody ever hear me agreeing? When I hear, well, somebody led out in prayer today, a young person. And I said, thank the Lord. And I will say thank the Lord for when anybody leads out in prayer besides Dan and me. Oh, we're willing to do it. But I want to give you a little nudge, and I appreciate it. Don't ever think I don't appreciate you leading out in prayer. And I'm looking some in the eyes. Okay? I want to encourage us. This is how our services can be more blessed and filled with the Spirit, is to allow the Spirit to work in us. Thank the Lord. So, there's a scripture I'm going to give just to support what I said. Because if all what I've said isn't supported by the scripture, then I'm of no value. Matthew 18 and 19, and Jesus said it, if two of you, and there's more than two of us in the service, if we shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Oh, Lord, help me. So I'm going to call it verbal agreement during prayer. It's valuable. It's good for congregations. It's good for the camp meeting. And I'm going to skip on down now because I do need to address some other issues. Okay, I'm going to speak to you about, in the end of this little message, about hospitality. You might think that I am skipping way out of the congregation services, but I think we're going to connect it. Hospitality. I guess we all know what hospitality means, but I'm going to give you some definitions that broadens the boundary. It's friendliness, kindness, warmth, welcome, reception, caring, sensitive with consideration. Now, these were definitions I got online that has to do with hospitality. And I know we all know what hospitality, what we think it means. But I'm going to give you a number of scriptures about hospitality. The first scripture is Romans 12 and 13. And it comes from, I want to give, first of all, a marginal heading on that particular chapter. And it says, various duties of the church. So hospitality has something to do with the church. And verse 13, or the last part of the verse, it simply says, given to hospitality. Titus 1 and 8, and this particular passage is speaking about a bishop or a minister, but it can speak to us. And it says, be a lover of hospitality. Be a lover of friendliness and kindness and reception and sensitive with consideration. Be a lover of that action. Hebrews 13 and 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Now we're getting into a little different category of hospitality. And Leviticus 19 and 34, it says, but the stranger, and I have taken the meat out of this particular verse, but the stranger shall be as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. Now we're going beyond our four walls. We're reaching out to a stranger. Do we have strangers come into our services? Yes. We do. But we have some that are not exactly strangers that seem to be coming back, don't we? Okay. 1 Peter 4, 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. And I think the Holy Spirit can make you understand what that means. Luke 14, this is a real eye-opener. Luke 14, 12 through 14, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again. Now, there's an explanation for that. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Have you ever considered that scripture? I don't think it is saying don't ever invite your friends to your house for a meal. That's not what that's saying. It's not saying don't invite your family. That's not what that's saying. Look beyond the family. look beyond, how shall I say it? Your circle. Look beyond. And who is it that you can serve with even these things that I have given? Friendliness, kindness, warmth, welcome. We hear quite a bit about outreach, don't we? We do. We have. Did you know we need outreach right among the church?
That's true.
And I'm going to just say it possibly a little bluntly. Did you know there are people, and I think I said it earlier, that you can feel very alone in a crowd? Maybe you don't know they are feeling alone in a crowd, but it can happen. There are so many people in this world that feel insecure, and they don't feel people love them. People have said it to me. We need to be sensitive with consideration. By the Spirit. We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and guided with vision. And I'm ending now. And again, I'm not pointing a finger at anyone. I'm just wanting us to have vision. And today, when we had our service, our dinner in the back, you know, we didn't have very many people. Sometimes we have more. But I want to ask you to be alert. Who are you always choosing to sit with? Have you looked around and said, well, I have never really sat with so-and-so and conversed with them. Maybe they need it.
Yes.
Maybe they need it.
Yes.
I won't say the names because I think you already know, but we have three that have been coming back. And I am so joyful.
Yes.
I am so happy. But there's been little attention shown them at the meal, and they are loving being here. Let's move out. It's okay to sit with your best buddy or your family or so, but the scripture says you won't be rewarded. If you want to have a reward, go to that one that's lame and blind and crippled. And they may not be that literally, but they are that spiritually.
Yes.
And they need attention.
Yes.
Do we want to be healthy?
Yes.
We want our congregation to grow. I've wanted our congregation to grow all of these years. Can we take the message today and not be offended? Can we get the value out of it and go home and begin to pursue praying, Lord, what do you want me to do to help the congregation to be healthy and successful? How can I provoke my fellow saint to love and good works? Only the Spirit of the Lord can tell you that answer. I need prayer. And I'm going to say something more. I need your love. And whether you feel it or not, you need my love. And I hope that I can provoke you to love and good works because I love you. I love you with an abiding love. And I mean it from my heart. Let us be bonded in the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe the Lord will bless us. I believe the Lord will bless you. I believe that when we pursue some of these things, it's going to be like the apostles when it said that they perceived that they had been with Christ. They'd been in a closet, so to speak, and they came out and they saw the difference. May the Lord help us all. I need help too. Pray for me.